You guys, it's Andy's Girls. I feel like I just went through a little bit of a Bravo style War of the Roses, War of the Carlito Hub House. That was such an intense episode. Genuinely so intense. I was talking to friend of the pod, Allison Leiby, about it while I was watching because I 100% gave up on also it's episode whatever, leave me alone. I 100% gave up on like watching it all the way through without stopping and going back. And also I wasn't going to recap it on IG stories, which I usually do when I'm watching a Bravo or honestly a non-Bravo episode or something. But I knew that I knew that was not going to be realistic. And I found myself at points watching the episode and then just going back, watch the episode, rewatch the scene, watch the episode, rewatch the scene, watch the episode, watch a part of a scene to see if I heard correctly what I thought I heard. And there were several moments where I genuinely was like, holy shit. I just didn't expect it to be as complicated as it was. It wasn't that it was unnerving, but it felt you know, there's something incredible about the Scandoval finale on VPR, obviously the reunion that followed, because it, you know, took the world by storm and we'd been kind of working ourselves up into a lather about what this final episode was going to be like. And while there were points that were gutting, that were so emotional, so real, obviously thinking of that scene with Ariana and Tom that starts the episode, was so intense, so impactful, shivers like down my spine, down my whatever, like 100% fully in. It also felt almost like a form of like a Bravo movie. There was something about it that was just so dramatic. And I think it's because many of us just felt like this heightened energy of this, like a little bit of an explosion of this thing that we've been talking about and talking about. This moment is finally here. What's going to be uncovered? What's going to happen? You know, watching the cast react in what is very, very close to being like absolutely immediately after the breakup. I mean, we're talking like 2 days later. And I watched the Summer House finale, and I just thought to myself, there's something about this that is so real. And this is like dumb sentence of the year, so add it to the list, but it felt like the truest definition of reality TV. Because obviously, LOL, we're watching a TV show. So there are going to be moments that might feel a little bit more performed, either because of the fact that people, spoiler alert, know that they're being filmed, or also have an understanding of how this might play for the audience. But it is also grounded in the fact that these are two real people who were embedded in an incredibly, incredibly toxic relationship, who are breaking up. There was something about it where I just was like, this feels so fucking real and wild. I wasn't expecting to feel as shocked as I did, because obviously we know this is the episode. This is the moment that we've been talking about and waiting for. And there was just something about it that just felt so, I don't know, because it's out of the universe of them being in the literal summer house when they go back home, but it was just such an easy continuation. And I think part of the reason for that is because so much had been left unsaid. Because we saw that final kitchen scene between Carl and Lindsay. I mean, listen, rewatch the breakup scene forever and ever, amen. Rewatch the Kyle-Carl right before breakup scene forever, ever and amen. Rewatch the girl power final scene forever and ever, amen. But that kitchen scene that ends with Carl being like, touch me harder, hug me more, hug me tighter. I need you to comfort me. And Lindsay is, or I need you to comfort me. And I also need us to connect. and Lindsay is so viscerally uncomfortable. It felt like there was a dot, dot, dot. That sure, a couple days go by, but it felt like it was directly connected to the breakup. If you had told me that this was filmed in the same house on the same day, and they went from that kitchen scene directly into the living room to have the breakup, I would be like, first off, Kyle, get out of the house. But also, I don't know, Carl's demeanor stayed the same. However you feel about him, there was a level of projection, emotional manipulation, hurt, anger, rage, frustration. I didn't see any love there. I didn't see any affection. Lindsay, though, to me, I was about to say was different from the kitchen to from the kitchen to the couch. I was going to say because it felt like she was trying to work through some stuff in the kitchen, but she was also doing that in the breakup scene too. She was being consistent in her way. She was trying to say, I need you to tell me what you need. We need to talk about that. And the difficulty in watching the last 100,000 of their conversations that all seem a little similar at the end of the day, they're all about, we don't speak the same language. It's not even about love language. We don't speak the same version of English to each other. We don't understand each other. We can't hear each other. And we are not meant to be together. And the thing of watching their dynamic and watching Lindsay's behavior and watching Carl's needs is that what he is expressing to her truly to me doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in the context of what he was saying in the breakup scene. It doesn't to me, like, remove Lindsay from the equation. Lindsay is in and of herself complicated. She can be reactive. She can be explosive. She can be mean. She can be cruel. But I also saw so many examples of her owning aspects of herself, right? Of saying, like, this is who I am. You're trying to change me. I won't let you, but it's also not possible. And saying, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to be better, but I need you to tell me what you need. And it can't be being a human comfort blanket. And Carl's reaction to that is like, you're not listening to me. You're not hearing me. You're digging in your heels. You're in denial. And just watching them so totally misunderstand each other is fascinating when you think about the fact that they professed to be each other's best friend. They don't fight. I guess, I don't know if the light goes off at a certain point in a romantic relationship, or this is just specific to theirs, of when you go from having what we're assuming to be some sort of foundation of friendship into a romantic relationship, like what's left. It felt like these two people did not know each other. And I certainly, you can change in a romantic relationship. Certainly expectations can change. You know, you see it's intimate. You see a different side of that person than you might in a friendship, when I think the glass is half full a lot of the time. Because also you don't have to be with them 24/7 in that way. You get to, you know, decide how much you're going to have this person in your life. When you propose, that dynamic changes. When you decide to be in a committed, you know, exclusive romantic relationship, that dynamic changes. And I'm just honestly at this point a little overwhelmed with what I watched, because it felt like these people had such a misunderstanding of each other. And I could make the argument that Lindsay had a lot of hope for Carl. I could make the argument that Lindsay didn't quite know what she was signing up for, because she comes from a place of sometimes misdirected, I don't even know if I would call it misdirected hope, versus like, okay, someone picked me and I'm choosing them and now it's over. So we're going to figure this out, but like I can sit in discomfort for the rest of my life. You know, Carl at one point uses against her the fact that she was abandoned when she was younger by her mother, which is a trauma that obviously has remained a part of her and may explain some of her actions and reactions. It doesn't excuse them, but it's an important part of her life and of the way that she might approach relationships. And I think you can see that at points in Lindsay maybe saying, this dynamic is bad. I don't understand how this is going to work, but not necessarily getting to the point of saying, we're not moving forward. You can see that in the couch when she is saying, you know, I thought this was going to be a conversation about, you know, work or whatever, or different communication styles. And she's saying, this is my experience. This is how I'm feeling. And then that devolves into, you can't give up. We need to work this through. Don't throw in the towel. You can't do this. And I think it's for Lindsay, I think, you know, both of them to a certain extent were in absolute denial about the kind of relationship they were in and the level of toxicity that was evident to literally everyone else and, you know, each other, I guess, at points, certainly at points. But I think for Lindsay, there's a little bit of a disconnect, which you see in that last scene with, the girl scene was like, girl code was, it was A++, like absolute prestige, which hopefully I'll get to, but Lord knows there's going to be many episodes to come covering this and also Vanderpump Rules, so don't worry about that. But there was a dynamic in, you know, the final scene with the women essentially saying, you don't have to be in this much pain. A relationship is not meant to be this complicated. Life gets complicated. Things get complicated. You know, you're going to have throwdowns. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have fights. Life is challenging. Plus, introducing a life partner into that can really make things tough. But it shouldn't be this hard. You are such different people. So thinking of, you know, maybe some of the reactions to Ariana versus Lindsay, it's in no way, it could not be less of a similar dynamic. It really couldn't. But there was something really interesting to me in the way that Lindsay's friends, because I think everybody in that room considers Lindsay a friend, which feels like a fucking miracle from where these people have been. Everyone is just saying to her, it's not like, oh, I can't believe it. It's so shocking. Because it wasn't a surprise to anyone else. It really wasn't. It's the use of the blind side of that phrase, which obviously Carl had a reaction to, was sensitive to. He was concerned he was going to get canceled from this. I don't think he has an understanding of why people in real time are upset. I think he thought, you know, Lindsay was going to put on the air of playing Ariana, which was a totally different dynamic with a very different long and short term friend circle response. But he was concerned that she was going to potentially produce her own, you know, PR blitz, Scandoval 2.0, you know, press tour. And obviously, we all remember the use of the word blindside, which seemingly started that day and continued. And so I'm coming into the finale thinking, like, blindside just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I think of that final scene with Lindsay and her friends, and there was, to me, a little bit of an air of, I can't believe it. I had no idea. How could he do this, you know, to me? Where it did feel a little Ariana-coded, and the reaction of everybody else in the room was fascinating. Genuinely could watch that scene over and over again. Danielle being like, I don't understand what's happening. The rest of everyone else in that room being like, that doesn't make sense. But because the difficulty is, you know, the Tom Ariana thing was a genuine shock. And then Tom started the PR blitz of like, no, I was going to break up with her. Things were really complicated, XYZ. This is the exact opposite of that. Everybody hoped almost, honestly, I would argue, that they would break up because they didn't want to see two people get divorced. And it was sort of like the breakup was inevitable. It was just a matter of how much of a mess do you want this to be? And the fact that Paige and Amanda specifically could go so immediately and so deep into, you're telling us this is a big surprise, but there were so many signs that it was not, was to me really important. I don't think they said it in a disrespectful way. I think that they were super respectful, but they were also really honest. And they saw this person who was starting to communicate things that didn't entirely make sense. And they were saying, hold up, this was not a good dynamic. It needed to happen. You know, Paige essentially saying he gave you a gift. Now you can focus on finding someone who will love you as you are. You know, everybody, the goal, I think, for many people, not everybody, is to grow and evolve and change, maybe take on additional responsibility, support someone, feel support. That's not everyone's idea or definition of love. I think it might be Carl's definition, but there's no action behind it that matches. And for Lindsay, I think because she had a level of trust and respect for the people in the room, she got it. And it was tough because there was ways that she was being emotional in the last scene where I was like, Lindsay, no, this is not connected to what we've been watching. It's just not. She has every right to be upset. I did think there was blindside energy in the breakup with Carl, not because he was breaking up with her, but because of what he was saying to her about her that I found really shocking. And about their relationship, that was like a blindside to me of like, oh shit, like he really does not like this person. This isn't a matter of getting married. This is a matter of this man saying like, go fuck yourself. Like that's intense to me. That's intense energy for two people who 2 weeks ago had a bridal shower, were supposed to get married in 2.5 months. The way that the show ended with the women essentially saying, I get it, you're upset, but also we are so thankful that this happened because you trust us, you know, trust us. You are in a much better position as a result of it. You will go on in life. He was not the one. You were not supposed to be together. And also, we saw the toxicity. It was very present. So when we talk about blindsides, we can't say that the relationship, you know, ending was a blindside in the way that Tom and Ariana's was. And the way that Carl was communicating that in the kitchen with a producer after, I understood. I genuinely did. Because he's essentially talking about Ariana without naming her. He's saying, I'm concerned with how this is going to be framed to the audience. I'm concerned with what's going to happen to me as a result. I just think his concerns were slightly off. And thinking about that scene, and it's just so weird to be recording this. I just did this obviously with VPR, but it's like I haven't given my brain, which is already slightly atrophied, I haven't given it a chance to properly settle. Like the way that my mind is kind of trying to figure stuff out at the point in which I'm saying it with just a lot of energy from that episode is like complicated to figure out, especially because this is a stream of consciousness and I don't know what it is that I'm going to be saying until after the point in which I've said it. But there's something also kind of powerful in that where I'm just kind of speaking from the gut. And the timeline of all of this made me fucking gasp. First off, the scene in the kitchen before they all go to Montauk, some by choice, others feeling like, I think for Lindsay, she was like, is he going to break up with me if I don't go? Like it was a little tense at that point. For Carl to reference for the thousandth time that he doesn't want questions from his fiance, he wants quiet, is difficult. He's talking about, you know, there were points in which he was bringing up his sobriety, the ways that they're different and how they navigate their traumas, his feelings. But I don't see him. I see him reacting to what he perceives Lindsay's doing to him. But I don't see him doing what I see Lindsay doing, which is saying, like, how can I be better? You know, like, or I hear your feelings, but I disagree. He's expecting her to understand his feelings, but he's not doing the same with her. He's not giving her enough of that maybe grace or active listening or trust or respect. It's just not there anymore. I feel like he's just saying to himself sort of out loud this mantra, I just want someone to be soft. I just want someone to be I guess, vulnerable in that way. I just want quiet. I don't trust when you're asking me questions. It feels like an attack. And that is, I would think, a really difficult thing to hear, because your partner is expressing in a poorly phrased way the fact that he doesn't want you to use your voice. And for someone like Lindsay, who stands so strong in her voice, doesn't mean she's, you know, necessarily communicating things well at points. She knows how to dig deep. She knows how to explode. But she is not someone who would choose to be less than who she is. She is not someone who would be able to be quiet when she sees an opportunity to be better. I genuinely think Lindsay is working on herself. And with Carl, it can't be said enough how incredible his sobriety journey has been, but that's not all of who Carl is. And he's a complicated guy who, to me, seems deeply, deeply insecure. And, you know, he has a way of talking about Lindsay's abandonment issues that I don't think are altogether kind, especially when he's using it against her. But I think there are other traumas maybe that Carl has been through that we're not addressing. Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially, for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie jog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order
at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co.
Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's Fine Hair and Conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code Andy for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code Andy. It felt like he was trying to present the wholest possible picture of who Lindsay is, a lot of it negative, as Carl was saying, but there's so much of Carl that's missing. And I think you can see his insecurities in what he is demanding of Lindsay, asking of Lindsay, needing from Lindsay, and what he's not able to give himself. Like, he wants someone to support him. He wants someone where he says, you know, there might be a job offer, I guess, with this person who I had a really toxic working relationship with and told you all about over and over and over again because you were my safe place. I have a job offer from that person. It's for $1 a year and I'm going to, you know, do math. And Lindsay's response is supposed to be in that moment, yes, you're the best. I mean, he says to her at one point, do you trust that I can be successful? And she says, I trust that you could be successful. And he goes, you're not listening to me. Essentially, you're doing it again. You should be saying, yes, babe, you're a rock star. You're awesome. That does not seem to be an emotionally mature man. And that's not me questioning his manhood. I'm saying he's not developed in the way that you would hope when getting married. He has this image of what, I don't know if it's what a wife does or what he needs or a combination of the two, that does not, to me, track with certainly Lindsay's reality, if not many others. There might be someone, I sort of hope for it for Carl, although I also really, really hope that there's the potential for him to genuinely work on himself, that there likely is someone who will say, I will be that person. I will not ask questions. I will just say you're a rock star, great job. You don't pay the rent with that. You don't move forward in your life on compliments alone. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you asking stuff from Lindsay in a way that makes me feel like you're not giving it to yourself? She cannot replace self-esteem, self-worth, and self-respect that I feel like is missing from you. She could supplement it, but what does self-respect look like? Like, what does a good partner look like? For Carl, it appears that a good partner is a cheerleader, someone to say, babe, you're awesome, and not ask any other questions. That's probably why Carl has not found professional success. Aside from Summer House, in which he has enormous professional success, and that's a big aside. But when it comes to like his work as a salesman and a salesperson, I don't think he really, from what we've seen, I don't know that he really knows how to get what he wants. Except maybe in trying to get it from other people. I feel like there's a huge hole here that he is expecting Lindsay to fill that's just entirely unfair. That's, to me, unfair of anyone, but especially Lindsay. Like, he should know who she is. And I think that there's some embarrassment that she's asking him why he didn't ask questions. She's asking him for answers to questions he didn't ask. My guess is there's a little bit of embarrassment there, a little bit of shame that he didn't think to ask this. But also, you know, there's something that Lindsay said on the after show last week, and I also watched tonight's after show. You know, she said on the after show, I think last week she did her after show with Gabby, and she said something along the lines of, like, Carl wants what's easiest in life. And I'm taking the sobriety out of it, which I think most people understand is an incredibly difficult, brave, courageous thing to do. It's a total seeming rehaul of your life. It takes an enormous amount of strength. And also, when it comes to seemingly everything else in his life, he will make the choice of what is easiest. It's why he went back to Loverboy. It's why he's coming up with these ideas, but doesn't have a lot of information or strength behind them. He says on the newest after show, it might have been in the breakup scene, that he was saying to Lindsay, you know, you poo-poo all of my ideas, like the bar, which never made sense, because he has no experience opening anything in hospitality in New York. It just truly would have been a complete financial flop. Or he references at one point cigars, that she didn't support his idea. The fact that he's able to name all of this and just say you didn't do enough, but he just has the name, he doesn't have any other information, is a little bit of a window into some of this. But Lindsay says on the after show from last week that he reaches for what's easiest, and she names herself. Like, the reason he chose me was because I was within reach. I was here, and that was the right choice. And I think they both kind of have similarities in what it is in trying to make a bad thing work. Like, they're similar in that way. And maybe there's a heavy case of denial. Maybe there's just, like, we'll love each other enough to get through this and maybe change each other completely, which is incredibly unrealistic. But when she said that, when she was like, I was just the easiest, I was the closest thing around, so of course he chose me, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? She's right. That is, I think, why he continued with this, because she was there. And for her, I think she had so much hope and was certainly also in a place of denial. She knew that things were not going well. That is a given. But she didn't seem to have an understanding that this was really the end. She thought that was giving up in a bad way versus, like, choose yourself. You know, it does not have to be this tough. So they have that conversation in the kitchen, which is, to me, incredibly difficult, because I'm just thinking Lindsay will never be able to love Carl enough. It will never be enough for Carl, because he just needs so much more. And his version of love is so fucked. Just specific to their communication style, his expectations, what his incredibly oy vey idea of what soft should be, which you should really, truly, would highly encourage never saying to a woman that she needs to be soft, because what you're telling her is that she's not necessarily allowed to express an emotion unrelated to that. You're telling her by telling her she should be soft that her behavior is wrong. The expectations around her behavior is wrong. It's an incredibly gendered lens in which to form a critique. It's like trying to mold a woman into a version that feels more palatable, which is really, really unfair. And I don't think he understands it. He goes on the after show and he's essentially being like, you know, I don't think anybody, Kyle doesn't get it either. They're both like, I don't think any other woman would ever say this. Lindsay's the only one who would get upset. And Carl's like, but she says, he's sort of hammering, like, she's saying it's bad. So I think it is, in fact, bad, and I won't do it again. But he doesn't understand why, or at least he couldn't communicate it at that point. I am sure it is something that they will get into on the reunion. But I just don't think, Carl may think he knows what he wants, but I wouldn't recommend it. I would not recommend wanting a partner who does not want to see you grow, because that's what you're asking of her, of them. You're saying to someone, don't make me better. I'm seemingly good enough. Maybe I'm great. I mean, I have to wonder, is he doing to Lindsay what he's asking of her? I don't see that. Or maybe it's because she's figured out a way to be successful in her own right. Carl would also, and did make the gendered argument that it's because she is a woman. Now, I think he was attempting to talk about, I guess, a different audience that she might have than the one he does, but she's also fucking talented and she works really hard. She has a lot of ambition. He's trying to convince her and us that he does too, but I don't know that ambition for Carl works when it doesn't seem connected to like a work ethic or an understanding of what ambition can look like when it's coming from him versus his partner. He obviously has a lot of insecurities that he's naming in the breakup scene, of the things that he thinks that Lindsay thinks of him, that he's too angry, which we've seen evidence of, that he is not ambitious enough, that he doesn't, you know what it is that he wants to do, that he's not enough of a man. And I just kind of wonder for Carl, like, I don't disagree with some of this, of like, I feel like Lindsay thinks of me this way. Yeah, I think you're right. I think she does think of you as someone who doesn't have ambition. I think she does maybe think of you, talk about gendered stuff, of like not being enough of a quote unquote man. He's saying that she at one point called him like a bitch or something. He started naming insults that she has said to him, that he's a loser. I mean, not great for someone who's obviously struggling with low self-esteem to have your partner call you these things that kind of maybe reconfirm your absolute worst fears. So they're both guilty of behaving poorly. I think Lindsay's just, her toxicity is maybe easier to see and define and maybe understand than Carl's. His is a little bit more quiet. His is a little softer, but it's still present and it's still toxic AF. And the fact that we went from the kitchen scene, which ended very poorly, and then scooting on over to Montauk because Carl wants to have fun, and then driving home, to what was it, 3 days later when he's meeting up with Kyle, because I guess the night before Kyle got a call from production. This is what Amanda said at the end of the episode. And they said, you know, you're going to be filming with Carl the next day. So Kyle shows up. I'm sure he has an idea of what it is that they're going to discuss. And Carl's laying into this whole, this isn't working out. We're not seeing each other. She has a temper. I'm essentially uncomfortable being with her. And he uses the words, I don't know if we're going to stay together. And I'm thinking to myself, you fucking know. You know you're breaking up with her. You're just trying to figure out how to tell us. There's no part of me that thinks that maybe he was struggling with how. I'm sure he was struggling with how. There are points at the beginning of their breakup where there are points in the kitchen where he should have been honest about how he felt, but he didn't. He started to kind of back off and argue with her that he wasn't trying to you know, end their engagement. He was trying to kind of figure this out. I don't think that was true. I don't think that was true for Carl. I think it's maybe hard for him to be honest until it's way, way, way too late or be able to like communicate that. But they have this conversation where Carl's like, we're fucked. And Kyle says, copy that. Can I have a cappuccino? I mean, this is a fucking mess. I got it, you know. But obviously he's talked with Lindsay. She's talked about the fact that they've been going in circles. Nothing's been working out. You know, he's been on the couch, whatever else. And then these fucking title cards of clocking how much time has gone away. That was such a shock to me. First off, that the lunch with Kyle, I think it was 3 days after the kitchen scene, if I'm remembering correctly. But again, I've only seen this once, but also 1,000 times. That was 3 days after the fact. What I wasn't expecting was the timing, title card, whatever you want to call it, of 2 hours later. The fact that it was filmed, the scene between Carl and Kyle was filmed the same day as the breakup scene was shocking to me. I thought maybe it would be a day later, maybe two. The fact that it was the same day, Carl went on the after show that came out tonight and said, I will swear on the Holy Bible. I posted this on my Instagram because I was like, how's everybody feeling about this clip? He says, and again, the after show's on Bravo's YouTube. He goes, I would swear on the Holy Bible, I had no idea I was going to break up with her during that, at that scene. She could have made it better if she had apologized and given me a hug and been like happy or whatever. He goes, there was no plan. I'm not trying to demonize or villainize Carl, but there's no part of me that feels like he's being honest with himself. You cannot tell me this man, I think he was confused. He didn't know what to do with how to end it. You cannot tell me this man was interested in repairing or continuing any part of his relationship with his fiance by his behavior in the moment. And he goes on the after show. They obviously haven't seen the episode as edited, because Carl's saying, you know, from my memory, I was just trying to say, you know, like, slow down, like, maybe you don't get married right now, but I was trying to make it work. I didn't want to break up. She's the one that jumped to that conclusion. And I'm watching that, obviously, after watching the episode itself, thinking like, oh, you're going to have a tough time watching what we saw happen. I don't know how long their conversation actually was, but I didn't see an energy, and I'm not blaming him, but I'm suggesting his reality is not in line with the reality that occurred. I'm not seeing a guy who is walking in there trying to repair things with his fiance. They needed to break up. It was the right call to break up, but I don't love this whole Lindsay's excitable. She just went to the end. She did too much, and that's why we're no longer together. He's playing soft again. He's saying, had she been softer, we could have worked things out. That is nuts to me, based on their relationship, based on the fact that he walked into that scene essentially with a dossier. Like, he got Monique's binder out of fucking storage, and he was like, I'm laying this all on the goddamn line. I don't know what his call was like to production. I think you could grab that Holy Bible and ask Summerhouse's Jeremiah. Apologies, I don't want to insult Summerhouse's producer because they did a great job. But ask, you know, the Summerhouse producer on the scene and say, what did Carl say when he called you, when he got in touch? Was he just like, I need to have a conversation with my fiance? Or was he like, we're in real trouble, I think you guys should come over and film? Thank fucking God the crew was there. I think it's actually going to be helpful for both of them to see how that played out genuinely. But you cannot tell me that this man walked into that apartment thinking he wanted to figure things out, work on things with Lindsay. No part of me feels like that is real or honest. I don't know that he's consciously lying. I don't think he is. But subconsciously, no fucking way. The fact that she started off the conversation, I thought genuinely even keeled, being like, we're having problems communicating, this is what I'm trying to say, because it's not just about taking care of Carl. Carl and Carl's version of taking care of Lindsay cannot be staying quiet if she is saying terrible things to him in fights. That's not care. That's just like defense. You know, that's not great. If they're getting into such drag out fights that there's so much yelling, I assume from both of them, by the way, that the landlord is getting complaints from neighbors. And that fucking apartment, that apartment is so ungodly expensive. Neither of them should be living there. They're shitting money away. You cannot tell me those walls. I mean, you know, New York, we really try to like fuck people as much as we, not, you know, in a relationship between Lindsay and Carl, but like as much as we possibly can with like just terribly high rents. But there's enough. I haven't been to the place of love, but I'm going to guess that the wall is like pretty solid, that the level of yelling that they must have been doing to get seemingly an array of noise complaints is pretty fucking bad.
The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estrocontrol. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estrocontrol, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPYMAMMOTH.com, and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that.
I don't know from Carl's perspective. Obviously, she has said terrible things to him. She's belittled him. She's put him down. He has also done shitty things to her as well, including on camera. This whole thing of manipulating someone into thinking that you're recording them and then you recording them is such a sign here that things are not well, that they're in the middle of an argument, some sort of fight. She's saying, why did you propose to me? He's saying essentially, I wish I didn't. I don't know why I did, which is a cruel thing to say to your partner, obviously. A truthful one, frankly, looking back, I don't know why he did. I don't know why they thought this was going to work. They should not have gotten engaged so soon. They should have figured out who the other person was sooner. They should have had an understanding of who they were and the fact that this combo was not great. Like if you're getting engaged to someone while you're seemingly still in your honeymoon period, I just don't think that's a, I don't think that's a great idea. I think you need to be able, ideally, to be able to fight and know how to fight well, not so that you win, but so that you can go through things and argue and, you know, be able to get things out and do it in a way that's not entirely cruel. You have to be able to troubleshoot your love. And I don't think they ever got to that point. They skipped over it. They went straight to the happily ever after. And this is where they landed. The like, I don't know why we ever tried. I don't know why I ever thought that you and I could be together in a way as permanent as what we thought, I guess, we were going to do. Like, it just, it's tough to hear them talk about having to record each other because they needed a record of how cruel their partner was being to them. And so Lindsay says she never actually recorded him, but they were in this car ride. He was saying stuff about he doesn't know why he's engaged to her. She feels like no one's going to believe her, which I think is accurate. I think a lot of people, not her housemates, but a lot of people would jump to the conclusion based on, you know, the 8 seasons or however many seasons we've seen with Linz, that like she can say things in, you know, she can be combative, she can be mean. And we have a version or a view of Carl that doesn't necessarily fit that picture. For me, it didn't until this year, where I was like, oh, he can be nasty. And we've seen it more than once. And the fact that he then started recording, because he's saying, oh, my fiance is going to record me. Well, then I'm going to record too. And according to Lindsay, goes, stop yelling at me, Lindsay, stop. So that he has evidence of that. And as Carl said on the after show, he kept recording. So he recorded them driving in a car for an hour. If you feel like you have to record your partner to prove how mean they are to you and have it sit in like dead air, your iPhone between you, maybe it has its own little car seat in their, you know, Volvo or I forget what kind of fucking car, whatever car it is, they can't afford it. Driving back to New York in, I assume, silence because no one, I don't know if it's no one wants to get caught or they just don't want to participate in this anymore. It was tough. This man came to that sit down to tell her to fuck off. He did not, at a certain point, he looked like he was gloating when she said, you made the decision. And he goes, I did. You cannot tell me, I don't believe you if you do, that he went into that meeting, Zoom, but IRL, with his fiance intending to make it work. They shouldn't. They don't work. But the way he's positioning this as, I just needed a hug at the end of the day, but she was just too much. So, you know, the breakup happened because she did too much. She was positioning it in too big a way, and now we're done. That does not align with the version of reality that I saw tonight. It just genuinely, simply does not. And it's tough because obviously, you know, Lindsay's talked about on this episode, on others, the fact that she was his sounding board. I don't know who's going to be Carl's confidant after this. If he thinks it's going to be Kyle, I don't think that's going to work out. I don't know. This is entirely on Carl, so kudos for Lindsay. It's no longer her responsibility to support him. But My guess is, based on Kyle, what we've seen of Kyle, Kyle and Amanda right now, I don't think that Kyle has like done huge changes to his style of work. And if we're believing Lindsay and Carl, frankly, because Carl talked about how toxic that environment was, he's going into this situation asking no questions, getting paid on the, you know, more modest side of things. And who's going to be responsible when and if it flops? He no longer has Lindsay to blame. I don't know who's going to cheerlead for Carl that could do a better job than his mom, which is the kind of partner he keeps describing, a maternal figure. You can't marry your mom, Carl. You ideally shouldn't want to at this point in time. You're a grown adult who thinks that partnership means someone giving you a high five. Like, it's Lindsay's life too. Like, Carl's choice of work affects her. He's not in a field where he has, you know, years of experience and it's just kind of doing a slight change. He's entirely unsure of what it is that he wants to do next. He's pulling things out of the air. He's not asking questions himself. Ideally, he's fortunate enough to have someone ask them. You know who's not going to do that? His boss. Kyle is not necessarily going to be in a position, and I know that they're good friends as well, but that's why this doesn't work out, because there's no real boundaries there. There's not the structure that I feel like Carl craves, but he's also acting as if he's an entrepreneur, which requires so much, such an ability to create your own structure or just be really comfortable with a total lack thereof. I just don't see it in him. I think Kyle's in a tough spot right now, but I do think Kyle's an entrepreneur. He's just decided, you know, to try a certain strategy with Loverboy, and we'll see how that pans out. With Carl, I'm like, babe, I don't know what it is that we're doing. It feels a little bit like playing house. Feels like someone who spent 10 months saying, I don't know what it is that I want to do. And when you hit the 10-month mark, maybe he felt annoyed that there was a deadline on him finding a job, but he needs to be able to support himself. He also needs to be able to support his family. That doesn't mean that he needs to, you know, carry the responsibility of two salaries potentially, noting that Lindsay is making a significant check as an influencer, as a member OG of the Summer House cast. But it feels like he's thinking that he's further along than I think he maybe is. And he's hired a life coach. He has ideas of things, but that's all it is. It's an idea. You're not going to get very far on an idea alone unless he's going into like a series of licensing gigs. I don't think that's an offer that's on the table. Oh God, I feel like I've spent so much time on Carl, but I think that's also because Lindsay, I've seen growth in Lindsay. I really do. I also genuinely thought the last scene, there were parts of that that did feel like a little bit of a repositioning of their relationship. I do think the blind side can be applied to the ways that he was describing her. He was essentially saying that she's a piece of shit. Like, if my fiance, 2.5 months later, you know, 2 weeks after the wedding shower, is telling me you're really good at playing a victim, this is your show, and I pay rent. First off, that doesn't make sense. But you both pay rent. Are we doing the Sandoval thing or the Jax thing of like saying you're paying more money than your partner is? It's not making sense. I mean, if your partner is saying you're really good at manipulating people and playing a victim, I don't know. It doesn't sound like they like you very much. That can be a blind side of this person who I thought I loved. You know, Lindsay seemingly understood that she was going to have a tough conversation. She went on Jackie Schimmel's podcast. It's a really good conversation. And the thing that's so fascinating is Jackie says at the beginning and over again, you know, I don't watch Summer House, but I have like a crew of friends who watch. They sent me questions. And I think, frankly, that there was a little bit of like a stress released in her not having to have questions of like, I said this at this point and this at this point, or you said this at this point and this, and then in this episode and that, they could just really genuinely have a conversation. I thought it was really, I watched it on YouTube. I genuinely thought it was great. But there's one point, and I think maybe Lindsay said this on the Vile Files interview, but that was so long ago. So many lifetimes ago, that, you know, she knew that this conversation was happening. Obviously, it's not like filming just showed up at her door. So I don't know if they told her the day before that this was happening. Amanda said that Kyle, I think, was contacted the night before to say that he was going to film with Carl. I might be getting that timing wrong, but I think that's what she said. And obviously, we know from the timestamp that the breakup scene happened 2 hours after the Kyle-Carl combo. So I don't know or remember if Lindsay got the call the day before or the day before that, but she wasn't seemingly given a lot of time. She certainly knew it was going to be a tough conversation. You see that in the way that she talked to her dad and just kind of skipped to the end and was like, this was the conversation. People understood that she was filming something. She knew something was up because cameras were down. She's fighting with her fiance. Cameras go back up. You know that something's going to happen. But it appears they were not talking, not sleeping in the same bed. He was like on the couch or whatever for several days from them getting back from Summer House, back from the Hamptons to the breakup scene. He seemingly slept on the couch every night. They weren't talking. You know, I'm sure there was a snarl here and there, but there wasn't conversation or working anything through. Then she's told they're going to film some sort of scene. She knew it wasn't going to be a good moment. I think she thought it was going to be another of the, like, we're having trouble communicating, we need to talk this through. I wouldn't be surprised if a part of her thought that it could be more of that deep down. I mean, she can say now, having the benefit of time and just, I think, more self-awareness, that, you know, she's thankful that they didn't get married. Both of them obviously feel that way, and they should. I wouldn't be surprised if a part of her thought that maybe that they were going to break up, but she seemed really adamant in the moment too, that breaking up was losing. And listen, Lindsay doesn't want to be a loser. Lindsay wants stuff to work out. I don't think you can put all of that into the abandonment trauma basket as Carl is trying to do. I think that Lindsay also views herself as someone who doesn't quit. And I think for her, breaking up is quitting. And that's to her a weakness versus staying in this dynamic, which is incredibly toxic, requires so much tolerance of stress and discomfort and just a really unpleasant kind of life. That, like, their only time to really connect with each other is superficial and fleeting. They really, truly were at the point in their relationship in the last couple of weeks that we saw where it's like they could not communicate with each other. He did not want to hear her voice unless she was praising him for something he didn't actually accomplish, for ideas. He wanted her to praise him for saying an idea out loud and telling him how smart he was. And she wanted someone who didn't need that. And that, it was never going to work. It was such a fucking fascinating episode. I just don't know. I mean, the way that he described their fights as being not normal was interesting to me, because it shouldn't be normal. But I think also another way to think of it for both of them is our fights were not acceptable. Like, let's stop using the idea of normal, because it's just often used as a way to, like, shame another person. You're not normal. The thing that you're doing isn't normal. It's strange. It's weird. Versus, like, this isn't acceptable. This is not how life should be lived. It should not be this tough to quote unquote love someone. I mean, that's important. It's important to be able to know that your partner loves you in a way that is acceptable, loves you in a way that feels like enough, to feel like enough yourself. This is not, I think Carl watched Jerry Maguire too many times. And I personally love that movie. I really do. I love a mission statement. Is that what he called it? I think it is. But the whole, like, you complete me. Lindsay can't be all of Carl. He needs to complete himself. I don't think he knows how to do that. I don't know that he wants to. He might not want to. He might feel like he can't. There's a lot of work that Carl seems to be identifying as a result of his relationship with Lindsay, that it's like Lindsay's fault. This was the environment I'm in. This is an environmental issue. I think he said at one point, you know, this is like an issue. This is a relationship issue. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's a relationship issue here, but Carl, there's also a Carl issue. There's some stuff that Carl needs to work out that is not Lindsay's fault. Lindsay can certainly exacerbate matters. She can make matters worse. She can contribute here. She also needs to be responsible for some of her own poor behavior. But like, Lindsay's not the reason that you don't have a job. Lindsay's not the reason that you don't feel, you seemingly obviously do not feel confident in yourself. He kept also saying, which I need more information about, that Lindsay didn't want him to stay sober or didn't believe that he was going to stay sober. I mean, that's a big statement to make. And I don't know what he meant by that. I mean, I know he meant the words that he said out loud. And I have ears. I think I heard something. But I need to hear more on that, because that's a big fucking statement to make. Now, it could be specific to her statements at the beginning of the season, which were horrible, of like calling him Cocaine Carl, saying, I think he's on something. But I don't know, unless he felt like she was saying that in a way to say, yeah, I guess she was questioning his sobriety. But that's not necessarily like, I don't want you to be sober. That was a big moment that I don't know. I just hope that that gets discussed at the reunion, because there's a lot to unpack here, but that's something that needs to be discussed. Also, the way he says that she's critical of his identity or his like professional brand being connected to sobriety, but his positioning of his ideas, I mean, he wants to have his professional life connected to sobriety as well. He should, by the way. Like, yes, this is absolutely very important to him. If he can work in a field related to that, go for it. Like, that's great. Maybe Lindsay felt like he was pigeonholing himself. That's really on Carl to decide. Like, maybe this is the passion of Carl's life that he wants to continue to work on in some way and figure out a way to, you know, monetize aspects of sober living in, you know, creating a non-alcoholic brand or, you know, opening up a sober bar, that he wants to make that his platform. And he has every right to do that. I mean, it's incredible that he is sober, that he's been so public about his struggles. But he does have a way of talking about Lindsay's view of his sobriety that I need more information on. Like, we're just kind of, we're hearing him say things. We're hearing him say a lot. And I just genuinely need a little bit more information, because that's a really big loaded accusation. They made a lot of each other. It's just so fucking wild. I cannot say this enough. It's just so fucking wild that we have the kitchen scene, which was so fucking intense, to 3 days later, espresso cappuccino, 2 hours after breakup, 48 hours later, girl talk. That's quite a week. I mean, that's an intense, intense week. It was such an intense episode. I could not more highly recommend it. I really couldn't. I just also think, if you're asking your partner to change, both of them are guilty of that in a way that is totally unrealistic. I don't know. There's the whole like, we change together, whatever. You know, you can want to change and be better for your partner, for yourself. But they're talking like core personalities they want to change. Carl thinks it's success, I guess, if Lindsay gives him a high five and doesn't say anything ever again, because he's incredibly sensitive at this point to what he feels like are cruel, critical insults that she's leveled his way. She obviously feels like the real Carl hasn't been seen by anyone else. And what do you do with that? You don't trust each other. You don't maybe trust yourself around this other person. You think they're entirely to blame. It's a bad coupling. It's a bad position. I cannot believe that they would have been married 2.5 months later. I cannot believe her wedding shower was 2 weeks ago. I do think Gabby, who I, you know, really genuinely enjoy and has had some excellent moments on the after show, she was coming in a little hard. And I don't know if this is because she's quasi new to the cast, has seen a specific view of their relationship, is obviously ardently team Lindsay. But the way she was like, this came out of nowhere. They're just, you know, squabbling over simple communication things. There was no reason for this to end. It's in moments like that where, you know, I'm thankful she has Lindsay as someone so passionately in her corner, but also it was very important that Sierra and Danielle and Amanda and Paige were there to counter and be like, no, this wasn't a little thing. This was a big fucking thing. And the way that Amanda was talking about it as like, he did not end their relationship out of weakness. That took incredible strength. And I'm just thinking to myself, when we look back on your engagement to Kyle, when we talk about your marriage in a couple of years, I wonder what she was thinking at that point. Like, who knows what would have happened? They probably didn't want to break up. I mean, they didn't, because they didn't break up and they're married and they're sort of figuring these out. That was a moment where I was like, oh yeah, I get that. But man, the fact that that episode was so intense and then ended on a genuine high note of like laughing about and like going to Mexico because LOL, we can't get our security deposit back. And Paige, you're finally invited. It made me feel good that Lindsay was surrounded by genuinely genuine friends. Genuinely genuine is the phrase I would say to that, because I just quite literally did. And Carl is, I don't know, maybe going to figure himself out. I don't know. I don't think Carl is a bad person. I don't think Lindsay is either. I think they were so, so terribly bad for each other. And I think breaking up with each other does not ideally end the sentence here. They both have some shit to work out. They both do. That they're individually responsible for, which maybe Carl will just say someone else is around. I'll find someone who wants to give me a high five. Maybe Carl is meant to have the kind of life where he just floats. And there are floaters, you know. We talk about the importance of having beta housewives. There's something to be said for not wanting to necessarily be center stage, except I guess in his own personal act. Like, he wants that in his relationship. He just doesn't seem to be motivating himself to achieve it internally from within. The reunion is going to be fucking incredible. I'm going to tell you that. I can't believe it's only two parts. That's concerning. I can't believe the trailer was like 15 seconds long. Like, they said like next week and then it was fade to black. Like, where's the rest of the trailer? I needed more. I did do a live reaction to it on the AG page and unpacked a bunch of your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns. And I will be recording another soon enough. So DM me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben Simone, to my Instagram at Dame Galley. You can email me a thesis at Andy's Girls Show. Please take up space. I love, love, love a super deep dive. And you can listen to those Patreon episodes by joining the AG Patreon, number one way to support the pod, at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. What an episode of television we watched tonight. Genuinely was so interesting. As always, highly recommend the Summer House After Show. And I'm really curious for your thoughts. I genuinely am. So please send me your satchels because I would love to unpack them stat. And guys, thanks so much for listening. Team me. I don't have a team. I don't have a team. Team, great television, honestly, at the end of the day. And I don't know. Team never being soft, I gotta tell you. Unless you're using the softener for the dryer, which I never use, not once, because who needs it? You know what I'm saying? Just go hard. Just play around. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. And I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.